morning, everyone. I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is July 30th, 2013. The time is 9:01. Because our presentation today is about Child Support Awareness Month, I would ask everyone to please stand, and I'm going to ask Tamara Thomas to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Tamara. Okay, we're moving on to the presentation, proclaiming August 2013 as Child Support Awareness Month.
Good morning, Supervisor Chiesa, board members, County Council Doring, and Monica Nino. This morning, as we do every August, we've asked this board to proclaim August as Child Support Awareness Month. The department has prepared a brief presentation advising the public of services they can receive, as well as highlighting a few agency accomplishments since last August. Here with me today is the newly promoted Assistant Director, Baljeet Atwell. It's my pleasure to introduce her to this board, and she will be making the presentation today. Also seated at the table and a familiar face to all of you is Mark Lozier, Manager 3, also with the Department of Child Support. Additionally, we have in the audience staff members who are present for today's meeting. I'm very proud of all of their efforts, keeping us on target for our goals and accomplishments this year. At the end of Ms. Atwell's presentation, we'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have or take any comments on child support matters that the board may have. At this time, I'll turn it over to Ms. Atwell.
Good morning. Baljeet Atwell, Assistant Director for Child Support Services. Thank you for having us today. The Child Support Program establishes and enforces paternity and support orders. Child support is a source of income for one quarter of all children in the United States and a half of all poor children, impacting 17 million American children. It's also a program rated by the Federal Office of Management and Budget as the best managed, most effective social services program, with performance measure goals established and monitored at both the federal and state level. Child support is a federally and state funded program and therefore operates at no cost to the County General Fund. Child support is important to families as it improves self-sufficiency. Support payments also play a stabilizing role during economic downturns, helping families get from paycheck to paycheck. In addition to pursuing monetary support, health insurance is also obtained for the child if available from either parent. The impacts to the parents paying support are many. Relationships are strengthened with children, and joint parenting relationships are also improved. The Child Support Program generates revenue. In the last 6 years, statewide, the program has collected almost $14 billion. Locally, within our county, over the same time period, we have collected $288 million for the community that we serve. The program's performance is measured in many ways, specifically by the orders that are established and the funds that we collect. Cost effectiveness is an important measure also. Stanislaus Child Support Services is proud that we ranked 9th within the state this year for being cost effective. For every dollar spent, we collected $3.54. We anticipate collecting even more per dollar spent next year. While maintaining efficiency, we strive to provide excellent customer service. According to 438 respondents to countywide surveys, our staff is doing very well, achieving ratings in the 90s, and I congratulate them. Continued successes are also attributed to partnerships that child supporters formed to augment the delivery of our services. Thanks to the probation department, the courts, Alliance WorkNet, the Community Services Agency, the Center for Human Services, and Havens Women's Center, child support has been able to adopt the federal approach of assisting parents to overcome barriers which prevent them from supporting their children. Over the last several years, child support has evolved from a program focused solely on enforcement of monetary support through judicial means to an agency that collaborates to provide services to promote parental engagement. In October 2012, along the lines of engaging parents and removing barriers to support, Stanislaus County was awarded the National Child Support Non-Custodial Parent Demonstration Grant along with eight other states. This grant is also known locally as the Pathways to Self-Sufficiency Grant. Stanislaus was the only county in California to be awarded this national grant. The grant will provide employment opportunities to parents unable to pay child support due to unemployment. DCSS is working closely in conjunction with Alliance WorkNet, the Stanislaus County Courts, the Center for Human Services, and Haven's Women's Center of Stanislaus on these grant efforts. Enrollment for the grant will begin for eligible non-custodial parents on October the 1st this year. As mentioned, the staff at Child Support are dedicated to our mission of establishing and enforcing support orders while providing excellent customer service. Any person needing child support services can open a case in our office. Our services are available to the public. Please contact us so that we may help with opening a case, with providing case information, and offering other options. In August, for Child Support Awareness Month, we will launch a local campaign for parents behind on their payments who have had their license suspended. Please contact us. We can assist with releasing licenses, providing information on some debt relief, and now even with employment opportunities. I extend my appreciation to our 162 staff who work diligently day after day and who have made ours an award-winning and benchmarked agency. Late last year, the Western Interstate Child Support Enforcement Council awarded Stanislaus Child Support Services the WICSEC 2012 Program Awareness Award for the Stepping Up to the Plate campaign, a joint effort between Child Support and the Modesto Nuts Promoting Services. Additionally, Rhonda Brown, Manager 3, who's in our audience today, received the Outstanding Individual Achievement Award from the California Child Support Directors Association in recognition of the work that she did with staff to increase the amount of paternity orders that we established. As a result of her work, Stanislaus went from being ranked 25th statewide to being ranked 11th in this category. I thank the board and the CEO's office for the support they give to child support. And I thank our partners who assist us in promoting and delivering our services to the community. Last but not least, I share the public services announcement created jointly by DCSS and the Modesto Nuts to encourage all parents to support their children, both emotionally and financially.
When a father is actively involved with his children, they are less likely to drop out of school, less likely to give birth as teens, less likely to become criminals.
I will give my children attention. I will be there, my kids. I will give my children the support they need.
It's time to step up to the plate. Will you be there to support your child? Brought to you by the Stanislaus County Department of Child Support Services.
Now with that, we'd like to take any questions or comments that the board may have.
Great. Any comments or questions from the board?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This department has always done an outstanding job in collections. I think any department that can get $3.50 for every dollar spent back is pretty exceptional. And the department's always been very well run. As I was wondering on the state collection program that got off to a pretty rocky start and never really had worked very well. Have they ever fixed the problems with that, or there's still some more work that needs to be done on that? I know you can't do anything about it, but it's we've had to suffer the consequences for the state's computer program that didn't work properly when it was first introduced.
I appreciate the question, Supervisor DeMartini. We certainly have come a long ways in the time that we have converted from that system. It's hard for me to believe that it's actually been since 2007. We do have an opportunity, quite frankly, to give input into what things need to be modified on the system. We have a voice at that table. Unfortunately, there are a large number of items that can still be considered not functioning as designed. And so we do give input to that. We certainly promote the ones that have collection impacts. We like to make sure that the state is fully aware how it impacts the local agencies when those things are not correct and they're not fixed. However, I would like to say that the state has continued to increase in their overall collections, and much of that is a result of being and now having an automated statewide system that is consistent. And so to that extent, it is doing what we have hoped it would always do, and that is bring in more collections and more dollars. So I can tell you that we are satisfied that the state has made some progress, and although there is still a large list of things that we would like to see them do in terms of modifying the system.
I think the state spent about $1 billion on that for computer programs. I guess you can't expect much for that kind of money.
It's better than the manual system we used to have before. So to that extent, I'm very pleased to know that we do have a consistent, unified way to collect the support. I think it's helpful for employers to not have to deal with 52 different agency automation systems. And in that way, it's a much better system for those who have to interface.
Thank you.
Sure. I'm just going to reiterate a little bit what Jim says. It's always great. Last week we got to hear the Ag Report good news, and it's always good when you guys come here. We get such a good return on our investment here. I guess it's kind of a bittersweet thing. The fact that we even need this, I guess, is kind of a deeper problem that we deal with in our society that kind of affects everything that we do here in the county. And it's sad that we even have to do this, but the fact that we are and you guys do it so well, I just want to congratulate you.
Well, thank you very much.
Tamara, the funding has been stable for the last 4 years, I think, and now we're about $500,000 down. Is that state funding, or is that grant funding, or is that this missing $500,000?
In terms of the collections or in terms of the allocation?
The actual allocation, the funding allocation.
The allocation has remained relatively flat for the last 8 years. We did get a restoration this past year of about 1.2% that had previously been taken away by the state several years ago. That has been reinstated this year. So we are dealing with the same allocation that we dealt with about 8 years ago. That has remained relatively flat.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I'd like to come forward. We have a resolution for you.
Thank you.
I made a couple of notes, and it was pretty funny as you're speaking there. And my first note was, Baljeet says Stanislaus better than I do. So that's what we say. That was pretty funny. But, you know, this is truly a team concept, and we talk about collaboration. That's one of our principles, guiding principles here at the county, and working with probation and the other departments. It's fantastic. It is a great return on our investment. I have to congratulate you on something I think is very important. Supervisor Withrow is always talking about the family unit, and he's right. He said that we have to do this, but that you guys were progressive in that you want to make fathers a part of the family, not just, you know, they have to pay, but you want them to bring them back to the family unit, because we know that families that have a father that's involved, that's not incarcerated or out of the picture, the kids are more likely to be successful. So I want to congratulate you on that. And then on behalf of the board, I would like to proclaim August with this resolution, August Child Support Awareness Month, and thank you for what you do for the community. Okay, now we're going to move on to public comment. This is an opportunity for anyone in the audience to speak on anything that is not on today's posted agenda. I have two speaker cards. The first one is Vernon Lee Price. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. How are you doing?
Very good.
It's kind of difficult to follow something like this because, I mean, it's exactly what we're going to be touching on, or I'm going to attempt to be trying to touch on this morning, is building a vibrant Santa Claus. Not just that, but building stronger families, more vibrant lives. And, you know, investing and reinvesting in hopes, dreams, and aspirations only begins with starting with rebuilding families. So I just want to say thank you to this presentation this morning. I want to say thank you to Supervisor Withrow and his assisted staff, the Director of BHRS that is present this morning, Dr. Madeline, for taking the time to meet with some concerns of the homeless and mental ill and the housing issues. We are going through some growing pains in the city, in the county, and homeless people in general. And I want to say thank you for hearing our cries, hearing our concerns, and building hope on those issues. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be fast. It's going to stretch us as mental ill and those that are homeless like myself outside of our comfort zone, but see, that's growing pains, and I greatly appreciate that. This morning, I'd like to read just very briefly, because I'm going to leave some PDFs with you to overlook in the next week. It's called Preventing Homelessness, A Consumer's Perspective. The biggest problem is the way people look at you. The cold is something you can get used to and can always find food, but you can't get past the looks, the quiet whispers, and the way it makes you feel. You begin to feel utterly hopeless after just a short time. Being homeless and having a mental illness makes things much worse. But I want to thank Stanislaus County for reinvesting in hopes. As I met with Mr. Withrow, or Supervisor Withrow and the director of BHRS, I left a very heartfelt invitation, and it's an ongoing invitation, to the Empowerment Center on 800 Scenic during the anti-stigma groups that we have to empower ourselves. Because there is something about empowerment. Because the county can empower us, but we become still dependent on a system and reliant. But true empowerment theory, which I will leave a copy of also, teaches a person to trust within oneself again, to reinvest in a community that is caring. So I ask this morning, out of a heart that I know that is being heard, thank you. And let's build a vibrant Stanislaus, and let's build a stronger community by building stronger lives. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, I have a card for E.B. Garcia Bolio.
Thanks for your time.
Could you pull the microphone down? Thank you.
Thanks for your time. I am here to ask your protection. An unconstitutional act is going to take place. There's been denial of justice, and I have the documents. I don't want to talk about them. I don't think I can. I am 59 years old. I lived in Modesto from 2001 to 2007. Our home was acquired so I could start a Montessori school. Preschool, and I was licensed for it, but since the economy started to what happened with the foreclosure of homes and the employment of my ex-partner was bought out, so we moved back to our primary residence. The economy either built a family, because we were a family for 17 years, or destroyed the family. Mine was destroyed. And because we lived like 15 million other Americans in cohabitation, I left the house and I went to a shelter. However, friends would say, you have rights. I went to an attorney that I was told he would help. He said, I like challenges. He took my case. Lately, somebody told me he signed tier the client. My name is Eva, by the way. You signed here your situation that you were had a mental illness, and he took advantage of you. But in that process, where there's been total denial of justice, I'm protected by the jurisdiction, this jurisdiction. It says that Code of Civil Procedure 738, it says number 3, jurisdiction and venue, and there's a note 221.1. I do not waive, assign, surrender the rights and privileges conferred upon my relationship with Dennis Ron Kelly throughout 17 years of marriage. Now, I'm also here to ask, because I've asked the recorder's office, I've asked the sheriff's office, where do I file my exemption for my homestead? I was led to believe by signing a settlement agreement. I was asked to sign a settlement agreement with no knowledge what I was signing. I was just told, sign, I'm not ready for trial, we'll take care of the attorney's fees later. And because that document gives me full and clear title of my house here, I need to file my exemption to my homestead. I already filed my declaration of homestead. So I'm here to ask you, do you know where I can file that exemption? I am being forced right now with a notice of foreclosure to sell my house by auction. So not being educated in law, but being educated in being proactive, civil, just like I saw the banner in the Board of Education building, it says be civil, civilized counts. I've been civil all the way, being proactive, following the rule of law. And so when I read that the homestead would allow me and prevent me from becoming homeless, that I could claim money, I started to then find out where can I file it. If you know, please let me know. Here's my settlement. And the other and last thing I like to ask. I went with a lien, a document that I signed California juror with a fiant statement. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. I wanted to file this lien to protect me from this foreclosure and explain. I filed bankruptcy. I was coerced to file bankruptcy. I didn't need to. I've been insolvent because I've been a homemaker. I have a quitclaim deed filed in this county. I have the settlement filed in this county. All these are certified documents. And they prevented me. They refused to take my lien. They say, no, it has to be signed by a judge or an attorney. I don't have money. I received $74 a week of unemployment. That only helps me to buy the utilities, to pay the utilities. I need your help. I have the document here to support what I'm saying.
Would you mind leaving me your phone number so I could contact you? And if you could leave me a copy of those documents. And if you don't want to leave your documents, we can make copies.
They're here, and the original is here. Okay. I need to file this.
And so can I get your phone number, and then I will follow up with you, me or somebody from my staff will, today?
Thank you.
Okay?
Yes. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Okay. On the same subject? Come forward. Make it quick. Snappy. State your name for the record.
My name is Vernon Price. I just want to be very, very brief. I want to personally thank Monica Nino, the CEO of this county and this board, for hearing your cry. Thank you.
Okay, public comment. Anyone else in the audience? No more speaker cards? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to move on to the consent calendar. We have full B4. We'll not be taking action on it. And would any other supervisor like to pull any other item? Anyone in the audience want to pull any other items besides B4? If not, I'll accept a motion on agenda items A1 through 3, B1 through 3, 5 through 7.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Montes. seconded by Withrow. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0. Being past the time of 9:05, we're moving on to scheduled matters. Public hearing to consider the approval of the fiscal year 2013-14 assessment of the county service areas 4 through 26 landscape assessment districts. Del Rio Heights, Landscape and Lighting Districts, Bret Hart, Dystrom, McCracken, Laurel, Paradise, Riverside, Riverview. Public Works, Matt Machado.
All right. Thank you and good morning, Chairman, Supervisors, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. I'm Matt Machado, Director of Public Works, and with me this morning is Sharon Andrews. She manages the processing of our special districts, and as stated, the item before you is a public hearing to consider approval of these special districts. Sharon has a brief report for you this morning, so I'll turn it to her.
Good morning. This agenda item is a request to conduct a public hearing to consider approval of the fiscal year 2013-2014 assessments for the following special districts. County Service Area numbers 4 through 26, the Del Rio Heights Landscape Assessment District, and the following landscape and lighting districts: Bret Hart, Bystrom, Howard McCracken, Laurel, Paradise South, Riverdale, and Riverview. In summary, compared to fiscal year 2012-2013, there are 17 special districts whose assessments will remain unchanged, 10 that will be decreased, and 2 that will increase. All proposed assessments are in compliance with Proposition 218. There are 5 staff recommendations for your approval at the conclusion of the public hearing. Staff requests that anyone wishing to comment during the public hearing please identify the name or number of the special district they are commenting upon. Chairman Chiesa, before opening the public hearing, are there any questions for staff? And if there are no questions, I request that you please open the public hearing.
Any questions of staff on this? Seeing none, I will open the public hearing. Anyone would like to comment? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. I get back to the board.
Motion to approve. Second. All 5 staff recommendations.
Motion, second, DeMartini. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Now we're moving on to the 9-10 public hearing to consider an appeal of the Planning Commission's 2013 decision to deny use permit application 2012-04, Recology Grover Environmental Products.
Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Ms. Nito, Mr. Doran, Angela Freitas, Planning Director. We are here this morning to hear an appeal of the Planning Commission decision from June 6th regarding use permit application 2012-04 Recology. With me to present the project this morning is Joshua Mann. However, before I turn the floor over to Josh, I just wanted to make an announcement that also joining us this morning is Miguel Galvez, our new senior planner that's joined our department this week. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to introduce him, and I will turn the floor over to Josh.
Thank you, Director Freitas. Good morning, Chair Chiesa, members of the board, CEO Nina, and Mr. Doring. The item we have before you this morning is an appeal of the Planning Commission's decision on June 6, 2013, to deny use permit application number 2012-04. That would be Recology Grover Environmental Products. The project site is located on Gaffrey Road in the Vernalis area. I guess to the west would be the San Joaquin County line, and the nearest intersection would be Welty and Gaffrey. I want to go over a couple of the options that were presented in the board report. Before you today, there will be 3 options. In terms of the first option would be to return the item to the Planning Commission as requested by the applicant, RGEP, so that it can be reconsidered along with analyzing any additional information that has been submitted as part of the appeal process. The other option outlined would be to uphold the Planning Commission's denial, therefore denying the use permit application. And the third option, option C, would be to overturn the Planning Commission's decision, grant the applicant's appeal, and therefore approve the use permit request as outlined in the board report on pages 2 and 3. The project itself is a request to expand an existing composting facility, which was established in 1999. They would be adding an additional 42 acres of land that would be used as windrows in terms of the composting activities, as well as to allow them to bring on materials described as urban organics as composting feedstock. One of the things as far as this facility is they produce a finished compost that's sold primarily to vineyards, orchards, and other agricultural uses in Stanislaus and San Joaquin County. The facility is also permitted through CalRecycle, which conducts regular site inspections. No changes in terms of the number of employees, the hours of operation that were established under the two previous use permits are being requested. I'm going to show you the site. The existing site is the larger one. The 42 acres would be here. In terms of the general plan designation, it's currently ag. As I mentioned, San Joaquin County is to the west. We also, just to note, the Delta Mendota Canal and the California Aqueduct are also to the west of the project site. The current zoning is A240 general ag. We also have a plan development number 318, which is sun-dry products. That was established sometime in 2008. In terms of a composting facility, in the ag zone, it's considered a Tier 2 use. Basically, under the Tier 2 use, it says the proposed compost facility is allowed in terms of the types of facilities, commercial, municipal composting, processing, or spreading facilities of organic matter, which was then composted, processed, and spread, is not generated on site, and the composting, processing, or spreading is not part of the routine farming practice. Basically, if you're composting for your own crops, that is a permitted use. Once you start selling it, it turns into a Tier 2 use, needing a use permit. Again, this is an aerial photo that shows the existing site. The 42 acres at one point was part of sun-dried materials, and the expansion site is noted in the red and white hatch. Here's the applicant site plan they submitted. It shows the windrows, the expansion area, which would pretty much mimic the windrow directions, would be here. And one other thing I wanted to point out is the current processing or drop-off area is situated along Gaffrey. As part of this use permit, they would be reorganizing the site to a more centrally located processing area. At the June 6, 2013 Planning Commission meeting, staff felt the necessary Tier 2 use permit findings could be made to approve the use. Ultimately, on a 3-3 vote, the request was denied. This goes back to the Planning Commission rules and regulations that state, due to a lack of majority vote, the proposal shall be considered denied. Some of the issues that were raised at the Planning Commission meeting focused on the groundwater or potential water quality issues. Also, some discussion was made on the materials being used to compost. Other discussion focused on trash and litter containment of the site, and also the vehicle trips generated bringing in the raw material. I'm going to go over those four issues real briefly. The commissioners had concerns with the water use in terms of potentially some of the material contaminating the groundwater due to the use of water during the composting. And one other thing I wanted to point out is Regional Water Quality Control Board is currently developing waste discharge requirements specific to composting facilities, which Recology would have to comply with once they're in place. In discussion with Regional Water, they've indicated that these waste discharge requirements are estimated to be in place by the end of the summer. The other issue that was brought up is commissioners had concerns with the types and quality of the materials being used. This also included street sweepings and urban organics. Street sweepings would consist of a high green or organic material content that would be used in supplementing the composting feedstocks. The term urban organics basically means materials that are diverted from the normal trash stream. Some people might call it the black can, but basically what they would do is at another facility they would sort through the regular mixed solid waste, pulling out food scraps or organic materials, and then taking those to the Vernalis site to be composted. And I also wanted to point out that these materials under the urban organics are the same or similar type of materials that are currently being used as part of their composting process. The next issue was trash and litter containment. Some of the commissioners had concerns with litter leaving the site, not being contained entirely on the property. Del Porto Water District also provided a letter right before the Planning Commission meeting outlining concerns with litter materials entering their water delivery system. As a result of that letter and some internal discussions, a condition of approval number 13 was added to require the site to maintain materials on site and also establish a material containment plan with the input of Del Porto Water District. Some of the discussion at the Planning Commission meeting focused on why weren't we requiring the material containment plan up front prior to approval. It was conditioned to happen within 90 days of project approval. So as part of the appeal process, the applicant has submitted a litter containment plan, and this is included in the board report as attachment 2. It identifies the existing and planned efforts, including a 20-foot windscreen along Gaffrey Road, as well as, I mentioned earlier, a site reorganization to move the processing to a more centrally located area. I also wanted to point out the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District and Cal Recycle, both those permits address issues with litter being contained on site. The last issue was truck trips. Some of the commissioners had concerns with the amount of truck trips being unclear. Looking back at some of the material, the application and the CEQA document both identify between 60 and 80 truck trips per day. Also, the solid waste facility permit through Cal Recycle allows no more than 2,000 tons per day. Recology has given us some estimates. Based on a 24-ton trailer, this would equate to 83 trips per day, which is consistent with what they've estimated in the application. Also, in terms of the roads conditions, part of the 2006 use permit, a mitigation measure was included that requires 5.5 cents per ton paid to the Department of Public Works for road maintenance. And this is in place and would continue to be in place if the use permit was approved. I also wanted to point out that any increases above the 2,000 tons per day would require modification of the Cal Recycle permit and additional CEQA analysis through our department. No changes are requested as part of this use permit application in terms of the 2,000 ton per day limit. We did receive a couple of letters. As I mentioned, we received a letter from Del Porto Water District prior to the Planning Commission meeting. And then most recently, we received a letter from an adjacent landowner outlining some concerns with dust and bird droppings into their almond orchard. Those letters are attached as attachment 5 to the board report. And then to kind of wrap it up, I just wanted to mention again, there's 3 options today in front of the board. We could return the item to the Planning Commission as requested by the applicant. We could uphold the Planning Commission's denial, thus denying the use permit, or you could overturn the Planning Commission's decision and grant the approval of the applicant's use permit. That concludes my presentation. Staff would be happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any questions of staff?
Well, that's a comment on here.
Okay. If not, I'm going to open the public hearing. I have one speaker request card from Ray Murphy. Good morning, Mr. Murphy.
Good morning. I live at 3307 Gaffrey Road, which is just adjacent to the property in question in there. My concern is the stormwater drains off that going right down the county road for possibly half to three quarters of a mile before it drops into West Sanshaw irrigation drain ditches. And sometimes when you get a big storm, that water is fairly deep on the county road, and it's an accident waiting to happen. in there with the traffic hitting that water, and they don't realize it's there, and it's as deep as it is in there. And years ago, there was a thing on the side of the road, but due to time and progress, it's disappeared in there. But that's the main concern with besides the issues of the dust in there and the speed of the traffic going down the road. And it's an agriculture road. There's vineyards, orchards right next to it in there. And it's with the harvest season, it could be an accident waiting to happen in there. It could be a bad accident in there. So thank you for the time.
Okay. Thank you. We will note those comments. All right. I do have another speaker card, Vincent Tai.
My name is Vincent Tai. I'm the chairman, I am a general manager of Ecology Grover Environmental Products. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank you and the board for taking up this matter again today, and especially for the individual meetings that we had with each of you prior to this. Especially like to thank Supervisor DeMartini for his advice and guidance in this process, specifically for connecting us with our neighbors and adjoining stakeholders. We've had meetings with them and continue to do so. I think they are very constructive and positive and give us a lot of clarification on their concerns. We realize that our application is incomplete. There is work yet to be done on that application because of the concerns that have arisen since our Planning Commission meeting. And so our request would be that you would return us to the Planning Commission so we can address those concerns and continue to work with our neighbors and surrounding stakeholders, our surrounding stakeholders, so we can develop a more complete and robust application. We'd certainly be happy to answer any of your questions.
Any questions from Mr. Tai?
No.
Thank you. Anyone else want to comment? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing, bring it back to the board for comments. Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very familiar with this situation. It's out in my district, and we had a meeting there on a week or two ago with the local community, and people who live and work in that area. I have to say that this company is a good company, and they're trying to do the right thing. I believe they're probably not aware of some of the impacts of their facility on the local areas. They have met with the neighbors and have agreed to resolve these problems. At this time, this application is really not ready for approval, and I don't think it's a fair thing to just deny it outright. But before there's any expansion, there are some unresolved issues that have to be addressed, and the company has agreed to address them. I'm going to list some of them that came up at our meeting. The plastic bags that blow off of the compost piles have got into the irrigation systems, have blown up into orchards, in the trees, have clogged up intake pipes. And so that has to be addressed. And fencing and shredding of the bags is probably the best way to resolve that. But it is a problem. There's also dust with spores that come off of that, and adjacent almond orchards are covered with that, creating, a potential crop liability and a reduction of the crop. I've looked at the orchard myself, and it's definitely a problem in a certain area. And I think that can be addressed. Well, it's going to have to be, but the company is aware of it, and so that's an issue. There's also the stormwater retention, which Ray Murphy had just talked about. Water that runs off of that facility across Gaffrey Road into West Downs Lost Drain is not acceptable. And I don't know how Cal Recycle has been missing this, but it's very clear that they're not retaining stormwater. That's a fixable problem. That was an issue that I was not aware of until about a week ago. So that's going to have to be addressed. There's also in the letter mentioning the seagulls, which are out there eating the food waste that's going to have to be dealt with. And they are dealing with that. They've actually got some unusual plan of using falcons to get rid of the seagulls, which is kind of creative. So, you know, we'll have to see how that works. And then there's the question that the Planning Commission brought up about the groundwater monitoring. I really doubt that's a real issue, but, you know, the Regional Water Quality Board is probably developing standards for that now. But that's something that the neighbors really wanted to know, is anything leaching out of these piles that would get into the underground water. On a positive note on this, expansion of the facility would most likely tend to reduce the stockpile time. They have a lot of trucks coming in there, and if they can't compost it in time, you know, it just builds up. And that is where, you know, it catches on fire once in a while. I know the fire department was out there last week. And if they could process the waste quicker, it would probably eliminate some of the problems. So I'm not opposed to their expansion. I think it's a good company that will deal with this issue, but at the present time, I just cannot accept this as the way it is. And the fair thing to do is to bring it back to the Planning Commission when these issues are addressed. There's no way I could support the application in its present form today. And I don't think it's fair to deny it, which would delay everything for a year. So I would be in favor of just sending it back to the Planning Commission and specifically dealing with these issues, and I think we could probably get it resolved in 6 months or so.
Seems fair. Any other comments? Is that a motion?
Yes, my motion would be to send this item back to the Planning Commission for review.
Okay.
Second.
I think O'Brien got the second and first.
Fine. Whatever, as long as they get second.
Sometimes we have trouble getting a first
and a second.
Multiple. So, okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0 back to the Planning Commission.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your comments. Okay, moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the State Water Resources Control Board regarding the notice of petition for temporary change involving the transfer of water among various water districts.
Refer to the Department of Public Works, Department of Environmental Resources, and the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Seeing none, how about a legislative fiscal and management report?
Not today.
Not today. All right, we have a closed session today.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session. First is to this public employee appointment for the position of Chief Executive Officer held pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, Subdivision B. We reasonably expect a report out on that item. Additionally, there's conference with labor negotiator. The agency negotiators are Monica Nino, Nancy Bronstein, and Jody Hayes, and the labor organizations are those noted on the agenda. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. We do not expect a report out on that matter.
Good meeting today, guys. If there's nothing else for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned.